Happy Sunday, everybody. Welcome to this week's broadcast of The Hot Seat with your host, Vinny Fredericks, right here on 104.5 The Team ESPN Radio and that free 104.5 The Team app. It's been a great week so far with just, you know, baseball getting right into the postseason coming up. It's been intense. You got tight wild card races. You got division races. You got some teams clinching, some teams trying to claw their way back into contention. We'll dive into all of our regional teams of interest and what their playoff hopes are looking like, what they're going to need to do to succeed in the playoffs. We'll dive into the NFL scores of last week. I'll let you know how my predictions went and how many games I got wrong, because for the most part, I'm usually going to get a lot of games wrong. So just be wary of that while you're listening and you're thinking, God, this guy is an idiot. Why on earth did he pick the Cowboys to beat the Saints? Well, I'll tell you, it's because I thought the Cowboys were better, but we'll dive more into that later on in the show. Of course, we'll bring you the hottest headlines of the week around the world of sports. It's been a packed week of just headlines flying out at you, some big news breaking in, you know, the NFL world, in ESPN world, just all over the place. It's been a stacked week, and we'll be sure to keep you up to date on everything that's been going on and, you know, what the biggest headlines of the week are. And like usual, we'll dive into my fantasy football matchup for the week as, well, we're not starting out the season very well, but this was the same case as last season. And we saw how that worked out for me. Made it to the championship, didn't fare too well in the championship against my guy, Michael Johnson Jr., as he ended up winning our league. But it's not how you start the season, it's how you finish. You know, the people always say you don't win your fantasy league on draft night. You win it in the weeks that follow with the moves you make and the players you pick up. Always got to be looking around the waiver wire. Got to be looking for what the right trade is if you can find a deal that helps you. And it's tough to trade in fantasy football a lot because, of course, I guess this is also fair to in real life, too. When you're the GM of a professional sports team, it's hard to make trades that benefit you while also benefiting the team you're trading with. Because, of course, it's different in pro sports because you got contracts in there. You got the relationship a player has with a team. That there's a lot of other things that go into it to where it's a lot more simple than just, I want what I want, you want what you want, here, let's swap. When it comes to some trades that we'll see across pro sports, a lot of times it will come down to, okay, this guy is leaving us in free agency. We need to get something back for him. What can we get in return? Or it comes down to someone, you know, saying, this team isn't winning anymore. I want to go and compete for a championship. Let me get out of here and find the right fit for me. There's a lot of different things that go into making trades at an actual pro sport level. When it comes to fantasy football, it really just boils down to, I need this position, you need this position, let's make a deal here. And I've had some offers so far throughout the season that I ended up haven't making any trades yet because I wanted to sit on my players, wanted to give it a few weeks, but it's getting to that point where maybe I need to start thinking about trading away some pieces, getting some help. And there was definitely some trades out there that I may have declined too soon and it might have bitten me in the tuchus, if you will, because there were some offers out there for some players I had and I figured I'd be better off waiting. And we'll get more into it towards the end of the show, as you know, we'll dive into my matchup and I'll tell you what I need to win, because I desperately need a win in my league right now. There's a couple teams that are 2-0. Almost the entire league is 1-1 on the season so far, and myself and one other person are currently sitting at 0-2. So if I want any hope in making a name for myself this fantasy season and having any sort of chance at making the playoffs, I'm going to need to figure some things out soon. I'm going to need some guys to come back from injury. I'm going to need just better performances as a whole from my fantasy team. But we'll get more into that later on throughout the show. As you know, we'll dive into everything I mentioned. We'll start with baseball like we always do. And the New York Yankees, are in pretty good place right now. They've turned it on in the second half of the season after a real rough patch earlier on, where there was a point in the second half of the season where they were one of the worst teams in the league as far as win-loss record goes. They were right down there with the White Sox and the Colorado Rockies and the rest of those bottom barrel teams as really just struggling to figure out a way to get things going. But this week has been good for them as far as building momentum. Obviously, they had a big series win last weekend over the Boston Red Sox, taking 3 out of 4 from them. They have been playing great baseball. Juan Soto hits his 40th home run of the season. Him and Aaron Judge, when he did that against the Seattle Mariners on Tuesday night, they joined historic company as one of three pairs of teammates in New York Yankees history to each hit 40 home runs in a season. The other pairs of teammates, none other than Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig and Mickey Mantle and Roger Maris. So just to have Aaron Judge and Juan Soto be connected to those legends in that way, that just goes to show you how historic this season has been for the Yankees. And the only way that they could really improve on the history that they've made this year, you know, Aaron Judge having a monster season after obviously missing many of last year due to injury, after breaking the American League record for home runs in a season with 62. Now he's back, he's healthy, and he's the clear MVP of the American League. And Juan Soto is right there behind him in that MVP race, you could argue. So when you have two of the MVP finalists on your team, you got to be thinking World Series or bust. There's a clip going around of Aaron Boone talking on with John Boy and Talking Jake on Talking Yanks, where they asked him, you know, if they clinch the playoffs, are they going to celebrate? And Boone basically said, yeah, when we clinch the playoffs, we're going to celebrate a little bit. And me and my guy Joey Palotsky, when we were doing a special Wednesday night edition of The Hot Seat earlier this week, we played that clip back and had some opinions, if you will, on what Boone had to say. And Joey said it best. You know, he loves Boone. He was put in a tough situation following up Joe Girardi as the manager. And naturally, this Yankees organization has to get back to its winning ways soon. But realistically, this team does not play to make the playoffs and hopefully have a shot at the World Series, especially after you go out and you acquire Juan Soto in the offseason. This team is World Series or bust right now. You're already fighting with every other team in the league to try to convince Juan Soto to stay where he is in New York. Then you have a team like the New York Mets out there, who we'll get to in just a second, who's obviously going to give Juan Soto a blank check and say, listen, we want you in Mets uniforms. We're going to make you the future of this franchise, and we're going to give you however much money you want. Naturally, the New York Yankees are probably, just based off recent history, I don't know if they're going to match that number, because they haven't been the highest bidders on pretty much anybody lately. Even when Aaron Judge was a free agent going into that 2022 season, they almost got outbid by teams like the Giants and many others out there. It was making Aaron Judge the captain of the New York Yankees, the first captain since Derek Jeter, that was one of the big deciding factors in Aaron Judge staying in pinstripes. So you're already in this situation where you're going to be fighting with every other team to convince Juan Soto to stay. And just imagine how much easier that conversation and that convincing would be if you can say, listen, we already won a World Series together too. You and Judge just won a World Series together, and now we have an opportunity to do this for the next 5-10 years if you sign this contract. It seems like a no-brainer at that point. So for the New York Yankees right now, you're sitting World Series or bust. And especially when you have a rotation of Gerrit Cole, Rodon, Luis Gil, Clark Schmidt, you got Nestor Cortez and Marcus Stroman potentially in the bullpen. You sort of figured out your closer situation with Luke Weaver, and Clay Holmes is starting to somewhat find his stuff again. The biggest thing with this New York Yankees team is it's World Series or bust right now. Okay. there's no, we made the playoffs, we had a good season, let's celebrate. No, there's no celebrating making the playoffs. You can maybe make an argument for celebrating winning the division because you had a tough race with Baltimore all season long and you were neck and neck. They were up, you were up, you beat them out. You found a way to get that first round bye in the American League playoffs. But if you don't make it into the ALCS and win the pennant, I don't see what there is to celebrate about because you had a disappointing season in that regard. Now, granted, they missed the playoffs last year, so they've already improved on last year. But last year, they were not a good baseball team, to put it simply. They were not a good baseball team last season. Now, you're back to being one of the best teams in the league, and you should be a World Series contender. And when you're a World Series contender, naturally what that means is if you don't win the World Series, the season is pretty much a failure. So the New York Yankees in a good spot right now, but we'll see come October if they're actually built for the playoffs. And who knows, maybe they'll find themselves celebrating too soon. With the New York Mets also in a good spot, they've been fighting for the last wild card spot in the National League, fighting with the Atlanta Braves. And it's coming down to the wire here. It really, this series on the road against the Atlanta Braves, which starts on Tuesday, this could be the deciding factor. And they've had their hardships. You know, Lindor went down with an injury. And what happens? They call up Luis Angel Acuna, younger brother of Ronald Acuna. And he comes in and starts delivering, granted in a very small sample size, but he came in and almost immediately delivered. And that's exactly what you needed. You needed guys to step up and have that next man up mentality. And for the New York Mets, I don't know if I can confidently say that I see this team making it far in the playoffs, should they make it, but you got to look at this season completely opposite as the New York Yankees. Because, yes, the New York Yankees were supposed to be World Series contenders. They were supposed to make it here. If they don't win the World Series or make it to it, you can consider it a disappointing season. The New York Mets, on the other hand, they were not supposed to be a playoff team. They were a team looking past this season. All right, let's go out there. Let's see what we're made of. And we'll turn things around next year. We'll go out, acquire some new players, and we'll bring out the best roster we can for the 2025 season. And that's where we really make our mark. But they have rode the power of friendship hard this season and have found a way to put themselves in a potential playoff spot. Whether it's Grimace or Jose Iglesias OMG song or whatever dark magic voodoo that the New York Mets were sprinkling on their organization this season, they found a way to climb up from the bottom of the barrel and put themselves in a position where, okay, now it's October, you made the playoffs, anything can happen. You know, we've seen great teams in the regular season get bounced out early by teams that just happen to be extremely hot come October. And the New York Mets could be one of those teams to send a better team on paper home packing because they simply are riding that momentum and have plenty going their way. So we'll see with the New York Mets. It's a tough road ahead for them, but either way, even if they make the playoffs and get bounced in the wild card round, you can be disappointed that they didn't go further, but you can't be disappointed in the season as a whole because they were not supposed to make it that far in the first place. As for the Boston Red Sox, they, you know, were on a good streak coming to the end of the first half of the season, and then seems out of nowhere, the second half starts and they just fell off a wagon. At one point, they were 10 games above 500. And I joked a lot at around the midpoint of the season that, you know, they were going to finish the season 81-81 because they win a couple, then lose a couple, and then they'll win some and lose some. And that just, it's been the natural order of things for the Boston Red Sox. But they took a real tumble down the whole second half of the season, down the stretch here. And it's I don't know if you can pinpoint it to one thing, because I just think that they were not built to be a great baseball team this season, but the fact that they were in that race for a little bit, they definitely had a point where when the Yankees and the Orioles were skidding, they were right there on their tails in third in the AL East. they just weren't able to continue that success into the end of the season. And maybe fatigue set in, maybe it was other things. But either way, this Boston Red Sox group, most likely not making the playoffs. I think they have maybe a 0.1% chance of actually making it. And odds are, you know, their season's over. So they had their moments, but for the Boston Red Sox, you're looking ahead to next year. You're looking ahead to free agency, and you're thinking, what do we need to do to get this baseball team back on track? All right, when we come back here on the hot seat, we'll dive into the NFL matchups of this week and go over the scores of last week's games, and I'll tell you how many games I got wrong and what games I got right, because there were some that, despite me being quite a fool, I did get some games right. All right, stay tuned. More of the hot seat coming up after this here on 104.5 The Team and that free 104.5 The Team app. Vinny Fredericks here from the hot seat, letting you know to download the free, that's right, the free 104.5 The Team app on the App Store today to be up to date with when our shows are going on, when the hot seat is happening every Sunday morning, and when the rest of our programming updates come out, as you will be able to listen to our shows live from your phone anytime you want. So be sure to go to the App Store, download the free 104.5 The Team app today. We are back here on the hot seat with your host, Vinny Fredericks, on 104.5 The Team, that free 104.5 The Team app. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. It's Sunday, and you know what that means. It is officially week 3 of the NFL season, and well, we got some great games lined up today, so we'll go through them all. I'll give you my predictions, but before we get into that, let's look at week 2 for a second, and we'll go through the scores. And I'll let you know which games my predictions were right on, which ones they were incredibly wrong on. And we'll start right there with one game that, albeit there may have been a little bit of bias in my choice here, but in my defense, I genuinely thought that the Dallas Cowboys were going to beat the New Orleans Saints. I did not expect 35 points in just the first half from New Orleans, or for them to score on every single possession that their offense was on the field. 44-19 the final in what was just an awful watch as a Cowboys fan. By the time the third quarter was over, I just had to turn the game off and call it a day because I couldn't do it anymore. It was a brutal, brutal game, and there's just really nothing more I can say on it because that Cowboys team just did not look good out there. Their defense got ran over all game long. The offense had some good drives, but really struggled down the stretch there. They had an opportunity to stick with it. You know, it was 35-16 going into the half, but they had an opportunity to put themselves in a position to make it a much closer game until Dak Prescott had that late interception in the first half, which, not necessarily all on him. He had a wide receiver slips, ball goes right into the Saints defender's hands. But that was, despite it being in the first half of the game, that felt like the dagger. Because while you had a chance to make it, you know, a much tighter game and actually have an opportunity to get yourself back into it with some good play in the second half, you throw that pick, Saints go down and score again. And at that point, the game was just too much to overcome. 35 points in just the first half tied a franchise record in a bad way for the Cowboys as the most points given up in a first half of a single game. So yeah, that one very wrong. I also got the next one wrong too. Buccaneers with an upset over the Detroit Lions, winning that one 20-16. Baker Mayfield, 2 touchdowns on the day, 1 through the air and 1 on the ground. Jared Goff with a pair of interceptions as, yeah, another game where I just expected more out of the Detroit Lions, who are supposed to be one of the best teams in the NFC. And we're seeing early on that despite being one of the best teams in the NFC and, you know, making it to the NFC Championship last year, leading most of that game, they still have some things to figure out. So Buccaneers with a big win. And just as much as this is a bad game for the Lions, this is a great game for the Buccaneers because they made the playoffs last year, but now we're seeing them with a bit more competition within their own division. The Falcons look much better. The New Orleans Saints, like I mentioned, obviously much better, having scored on quite literally every possession of the season so far. And that NFC South division, despite, you know, obviously the Carolina Panthers are not going to have any sort of competition in that division, any one of those other three teams would be a scary playoff team to face. So we'll see as the season wraps up later on this year, we'll see which one of those teams, if any of them, can really separate themselves as a clear-cut favorite in the NFC South. Another game that I want to say I got wrong, I would be very shocked if I picked the Green Bay Packers over the Indianapolis Colts with Malik Willis in his first start at quarterback, but the Packers find a way to get it done, winning that one 16-10, so we're 0-3 so far. Anthony Richardson, 3 interceptions on the day. Josh Jacobs for the Packers, though, 32 carries, 151 yards, and it was an ugly game. But when you're losing your starting quarterback and you got to figure things out on the fly, when you win, you're going to win ugly, and that's exactly what the Packers did. 10 early points in the first quarter, and then it was a low-scoring game for the rest of the way. Only 10-0 going into the half, and then the final, as I said, 16-10. So not off to a good start here. 0-3 on my predictions, but we finally got one right, with that being the New York Jets over the Tennessee Titans, winning that one 24-17. Braylon Allen, the NFL's youngest player at just 20 years old, and it makes me feel really old saying that because, wow. I mean, me sitting here at 23 and there's this guy at 20 years old. He can't even legally go and buy alcohol yet. And he's already scoring multiple touchdowns in an NFL game. Congrats to Braylon Allen as Aaron Rodgers helps the Jets to their first win of the season. His first as a New York Jets starting quarterback. Will Levis, on the other hand, for the Titans, not looking good for him so far. Another week, another interesting decision by Will Levis and a tough turnover resulting. Moving on here to our next game, yet another one that I got wrong, another upset. The Minnesota Vikings somehow take down the San Francisco 49ers 23-17. And this Vikings team, despite not having their starting quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, and having to run with Sam Darnold, they've gotten a couple very impressive wins so far. Naturally, you expected them to beat the New York Giants in week one. That was a pretty easy effort for them. But to beat the San Francisco 49ers, who do have their own injury issues, but are still by far the most talented roster across the NFL, for them to get this win in week two must give you a lot of momentum, give you a lot of confidence going into the later weeks in the season. I mean, you're down a quarterback and somehow you're still finding a way to get it done. And this, not to speak too soon, but this could be good for Sam Darnold's career. If he can hold down the four, and you never know, maybe he makes a case that he could legitimately be a starting quarterback in this league and lead a team to the postseason. I don't know if I expect that from the Vikings this year, as they are going to be in a competitive division, but the Lions losing early in an upset. You have the Packers, who lost Jordan Love for a good amount of time now with a knee injury, so they're going to be climbing back to get into contention here. The Chicago Bears and Caleb Williams, they've been struggling a bit to start off the season, still finding their footing. And you never know, the Vikings, as of right now, currently leading their division down in the NFC North. So, the Minnesota Vikings, an interesting team that we'll have to keep an eye on throughout the rest of the season. Finally, another game that I got right. Seattle Seahawks took down the New England Patriots in overtime, but the fact that this game went to overtime says a lot, because this Patriots team was not supposed to be very good coming into the season, and yet they somehow beat the Cincinnati Bengals in week one. And if it weren't for a tough opening drive in overtime in which they got stuffed on third and short, they could have won this game had they had a long sustained drive to start overtime and gotten in the end zone. And this is not a bad Seahawks team that they've went up against. You know, they're 2-0 on the year to start. And it was an impressive game overall for the Patriots just to even be in contention in this one, to have a chance at winning. So the Patriots so far this year playing a lot more impressive football than anybody would have expected. Giants, Commanders, naturally, I went with the Commanders. And somehow, the New York Giants, despite scoring 3 touchdowns and not giving up a single touchdown on the other end of things, lose this game 21-18 as the Commanders scored 7 field goals. And the whole reason that the Giants were in this position in the first place is because Graham Gano had a bit of a groin injury coming into this game. And rather than looking out throughout the week and finding a backup just in case Graham Gano further tweaks that injury, they just send Graham Gano out there and hope that he would, you know, be okay. And what happens on the opening kickoff? Graham Gano hurts his hamstring, and now you're down a kicker. They let their punter go for an extra point at one point. The PAT was no good. So now you're in a position where you can't kick field goals. You can't kick extra points. So you're going for it on multiple fourth downs and going for 2 after every touchdown. And that's why you see the score that we have of 21-18. New York Giants just finding new ways every week to show that they are right now, they might be one of the worst teams in the NFL. Speaking of the worst teams in the NFL, Carolina Panthers naturally got blown out by the LA Chargers and have now decided to bench their starting quarterback, Bryce Young, in what I really don't think is his fault. I think if anything, this speaks more on the coaching staff and David Tepper, the owner. You know, they did not put Bryce Young in a situation where he had any opportunity to succeed. So I don't know if I'd say that this is all on Bryce Young, but either way, things are not looking good in Carolina. And that's obviously an easy choice every week. You're taking the team that's playing the Panthers 9 times out of 10. Browns and Jaguars. I want to say I picked Jaguars last week, and the Cleveland Browns were the victors in this one with a final of 18-13. Deshaun Watson with a touchdown on the ground and, you know, 3 field goals from Dustin Hopkins and a low scoring, gritty victory. But Trevor Lawrence, he is now lost, I want to say, his last 9 starts going back to last season. So the Jaguars starting out the season 0-2, running out of time for them to figure things out. Yet another game that I got wrong. I had a bad week, man. I had a bad week with my predictions. Ravens did not get it done against the Raiders. They lose 26-23 in an upset that I did not expect whatsoever. The Ravens fall to 0-2. I also picked the Rams to beat the Cardinals. That was not the case, as the Cardinals won 41-10. So clearly, I just don't know what I'm talking about here. So we'll see if my predictions are any better this week. Chiefs beat the Bengals 26-25. I did have the Chiefs in that one, but I said it was going to be a tight game because the Bengals always play the Chiefs very well. And the Texans take down the Bears, which I did predict in that one. And for the Monday night game, I had Eagles over Atlanta, and that was not the case. Atlanta with a great upset over the Philadelphia Eagles in Philly in what was a very impressive game. Moving on to the week 3 matchups here. We'll see how many of these I can somehow get right. Starting off with an easy one, Giants-Browns. I'm going to go Cleveland in this one. Don't see the Giants getting their first win in Cleveland here. Packers-Titans. I went against the Packers last week because I wasn't confident in Malik Willis, but I'd say I'm less confident in Will Levis in this one. So I'm going to go Packers to get the win in Tennessee. The Chicago Bears and the Indianapolis Colts. I think this is where the Colts get their first win of the season at home. Chicago's definitely struggled a bit in their first 2 games, so I'm going to go Indy here. Houston and Minnesota, 2 teams that are 2-0. One team is going to end up losing their undefeated streak, and I think it's going to be Minnesota. I said that they are, you know, playing much better despite having Sam Darnold at quarterback and missing their starting QB, J.J. McCarthy, but Houston is good, by far one of the best teams in the league, I would say. And I think they're going to find a way to get it done in Minnesota. Eagles and Saints. This is a tough one because, like I mentioned before, the Saints have found a way to score on literally every possession so far this season. But I think despite it being at home in New Orleans, I think the Eagles find a way to get this one done. They had a great week 1 game against the Packers. They were right there. Probably should have won in Philly against Atlanta and were unable to finish it out. So I'm going to go Philly in this one to beat the Saints and end their undefeated season. 2 more undefeated teams in the Chargers and the Steelers matching up. I'm going to go, this is a tough one. I'm going to go Steelers solely based on the fact that they're at home. And despite only having 1 touchdown on the season going into this game, that Steelers defense is going to be a difficult one, and it's going to give Justin Herbert and the rest of the Chargers some problems. So I'm going to go Pittsburgh to win at home against the Chargers. Broncos and Buccaneers. This one's a bit of a no-brainer. Tampa's 2-0 on the season. Broncos 0-2 in Tampa. I'm going to go Tampa to win this one. Raiders and Panthers. Obviously, we're going Raiders here at home. The Panthers look awful, but the Panthers are making the change at quarterback and starting Andy Dalton, so who knows? Maybe that'll give them just what they need to win, but I'm still going Raiders here. Dolphins, Seahawks. We obviously, we don't know if it's going to be Skylar Thompson or someone else starting for Miami. I'm assuming it's going to be Thompson. I'm going to go Seattle in this one at home. Miami missing their starting quarterback. Seems like a no-brainer here. Ravens and Cowboys in Dallas. Both teams coming off a loss. Naturally, I'm going with my Cowboys just because I can't pick against them. And normally the Cowboys are one of the best teams in the league following a loss. So hopefully that follows Sue and the history is on their side. I think the Cowboys will find a way to take this one, and the Ravens are going to start the season 0-3. Niners and Rams. I'm going to go Niners here. Rams pretty depleted as they've lost both their top wide receivers to injury. And I mean, they're not going to be back anytime soon. So I'm going Niners in this one for an easy victory. Lions and Cardinals, another tough one. Cardinals looked real good last week, but I think Detroit bounces back, gets themselves a win here to extend to 2-1. Chiefs, Falcons in Atlanta. I'm going to go Chiefs here. I just don't think the Falcons have enough to really match up with the star power of Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. And two Monday night games coming your way, Jaguars and Bills, which you can hear right here on either 104.5 The Team or Zoe 103.9. I'm going to go Bills in this one, start out the season 3-0. Jaguars start out 0-3. And Bengals and Commanders, I'm going to go Bengals get their first win of the season at home, and Joe Burrow starts to figure things out. That'll do it for the NFL segment here. And when we come back here on the hot seat, we'll get to the hottest headlines of the week around the world of sports and beyond. So stay right there. We'll be right back with more of the hot seat coming up after this here on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio, and that free 104.5 The Team app. Vinny Fredericks from the hot seat here. And if you want to be up to date with when episodes are going to come out, when it's going to be live on air on 104.5 The Team, and if you want to see clippings and snippets of interviews and other on-air moments from my time here with 104.5 The Team, follow my social media accounts at VFreds Media, at VFREDDS Media on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and more to stay up to date on everything and all things Hot Seat and more. We are back here on the hot seat with your host, Vinny Fredericks, here on 104.5 The Team and that free 104.5 The Team app. And you know what time it is? It is time to get to the hottest headlines of the week around the world of sports and beyond, as we're going to start things off here, getting right into it. As a little bit of baseball news, the Milwaukee Brewers have clinched their third National League Central title in 4 years earlier this week, as they became the first major league team this season to clinch a division championship on Wednesday, as I mentioned, when they sealed their third NL Central title in the last 4 years. They clinched the division following a Chicago Cubs loss to the Oakland Athletics, and the Brewers have now officially made the playoffs for the sixth time in the last 7 years, which is pretty remarkable for a team. This team, in 35 years from 1983 to 2017, only made the playoffs two times in a 35-year stretch. So the fact that they have been able to make the postseason six out of the last 7 years speaks in itself, as they have officially gotten themselves into a bit of a winning atmosphere out in Milwaukee. So we'll have to see whether or not, you know, the Brewers are able to make some damage in the postseason. We'll have to see who their matchup is going to be, but it's not going to be easy. But that's the thing with baseball. Once you get to October, it's all about who is the hottest team and who's got the most momentum going into the postseason. All right, in other news here, Eli Manning, New York Giant great, leads the first-time Hall of Fame nominees for the class of 2025, two-time Super Bowl MVP, alongside Defensive Players of the Year Luke Kuechly and Terrell Suggs, and also postseason hero kicker Adam Vinatieri among some of the first-time nominees for the Pro Football Hall of Fame's class of 2025. Some of the other first-time candidates for the Pro Football Hall of Fame include two-time All-Pro guard Marshall Yanda, as well as offensive lineman Travis Frederick, my former Dallas Cowboy, Ryan Khalil and Joe Staley, running backs in Marshawn Lynch and Darren Sproles, receivers such as the late Demaryius Thomas, tight ends such as Vernon Davis and Delanie Walker, and of course some defensive backs including Antoine Bethea, Aqib Talib, and Earl Thomas. There's also 10 players back under consideration who were finalists a years ago, including some greats like tight end Antonio Gates, receivers Torrey Holt and Reggie Wayne, offensive linemen Willie Anderson and Ja'Ry Evans, defensive backs Darren Woodson, Eric Allen, and Rodney Harrison, defensive lineman Jared Allen, and running back Fred Taylor, all back on the list. And it's only going to get more difficult for them to etch their name in history books and make the Pro Football Hall of Fame, as there are some very talented players, as I mentioned before, who are now first-time eligible. So it's going to be a very interesting as we get closer, and this huge list of great football legends will start to get dwindled down, and we'll see who the eventual finalists are. But either way, there is some great names on that list, and I'm glad that I'm not one of the people that has to decide which one is worthy of making it further throughout this whatever you want to call it, process, if you will, and leading to eventually becoming, hopefully, a Hall of Famer. So obviously the Giants, being one of our regional teams of interest, we're all rooting for Eli Manning. And of course, myself being a Dallas Cowboys fan, you know I'm rooting for my guy Travis Frederick and Darren Woodson out there. And either way, should be a great, great list of players making the Hall of Fame next year when it is eventually announced. Sticking with football here, as I mentioned earlier on, the Carolina Panthers have officially decided to bench Bryce Young, the number one pick in last year's NFL draft, as he's officially off to a 2-16 start to his career. But they're not considering trading the young quarterback. Carolina Panthers coach Dave Canales didn't hesitate on Wednesday when he was asked whether Bryce Young still has a chance to be a franchise quarterback. Absolutely, he said, and they officially decided to start Andy Dalton at the 36-year-old quarterback. He will be starting today against the Las Vegas Raiders. But head coach Dave Canales said trading Bryce Young is not something that they're really considering. We have a great situation with our quarterbacks right now, with guys that have experience. We love where we are at, and it's all hands on deck. I don't know if I can say I necessarily agree, or if I even think that he means what he says when he says we love where we're at, because, well, you're 0-2 on the season. You might potentially go 0-17. There's not many games throughout the year that I think they have that great of a chance at winning. You're certainly not going to be favorites in any of the games you're playing this season. And at the end of the day, you failed Bryce Young. You threw him into a situation 2 years in a row with brand new offenses that he had to learn on the fly. You didn't give him that much playing time in the preseason to get his feet wet and figure out how this offense is going to be run. You just threw him to the wolves in week one and expected him to just go out there and figure it out. And if anything, I feel bad for Bryce Young in this situation, because he's clearly a talented quarterback. I mean, we saw that when he was at Alabama and he played great. That's why he was taken number one overall in last year's NFL draft, but it's just been a horrible situation for him, and a lot of that blame falls on Dave Canales and David Tepper of the ownership and the coaching staff, because you gotta support your quarterbacks when you're going to draft them early on. And it's one thing to give them some time to study under another quarterback and let them really learn the offense and learn the way that the game is played at the pro level, then throw them into the starting role. But it's a completely other thing to draft them and immediately throw them into the mix. One, give them two different offenses in two straight years that they now have to learn. And you really didn't put that great of a team around him. He's constantly under pressure. He doesn't have the best wide receivers out there to throw to, beside the veteran Adam Thielen, who is not the same player he used to be. his running backs aren't that consistent in Miles Sanders and Chuba Hubbard. But it's just, it's a poor situation for Bryce Young, and I genuinely feel for the guy because he doesn't deserve the amount of hate that he's probably getting, as he's obviously failed at, you know, being the starting quarterback. But if anybody has really failed here, it's the coaching staff and the ownership for putting him in this situation where I don't think anybody would have been able to succeed. Moving on here, a little bit of baseball news. The Baltimore Orioles, who are neck and neck with the New York Yankees fighting for the AL East, have designated reliever Craig Kimbrel for assignment as he was struggling so far this season. He just, in his last outing, gave up 6 runs on 3 hits and 2/3 of an inning of relief when Baltimore lost 10-0 at home to the San Francisco Giants on Tuesday night. Kimbrel has a 13.94 ERA in his last 11 appearances over the last month. Kimbrel, who's a 9-time All-Star, pitched in 837 games and has a whopping career 440 saves. But this season, which was his first with Baltimore, he has a 5.33 ERA with 6 blown saves. So, not a very good season for Craig Kimbrel. Obviously, he's been struggling quite a bit. And the Baltimore Orioles, who are hoping to make a run in this year's postseason, obviously you need good bullpen help. You need good pitching if you want any chance at winning the World Series. And Craig Kimbrel did not give them that. So Craig Kimbrel, we're, you know, not sure if he'll ever pitch again. This could be the end of his career if he isn't able to finish out a season with the Baltimore Orioles. We'll have to see if he decides to get back in the lab this offseason and try to get back to his original winning ways. Lastly here, before we go to a break, probably the biggest story of the week so far, Adrian Wojnarowski officially retires from ESPN. No more Woj bombs, no more tweet notifications on for Woj, as he's officially retired and has agreed to become the general manager of the men's basketball program at St. Bonaventure, which he is an alumni of and has a strong relationship with the program out in Western New York, including a fundraiser that he did for the school's collective in recent years. He graduated in 1991 of the Western New York School and is a distinguished alumnus from the Jandholy School of Communication. Woj put out in a post on social media, "It's the thrill of a lifetime to be able to return to a university and community that I love in a role of service to our student athletes, coaches, and institution. I'm hopeful that I can bring value in a lot of areas to our basketball program and open doors for our young men's futures in ways both professionally and personally." Woj, who is 55 now, has worked at ESPN since 2017 after previously working at Yahoo Sports and the Record of Bergen County in New Jersey, among other places. He said, "I'm retiring from a dream job at ESPN and am so incredibly grateful for my time and experiences with the worldwide leader." So Woj, we thank you for all your hard work and dedication over the last 7 years you've been at ESPN and the countless years that you've spent reporting NBA news and news all across the sporting world throughout most of our lives, we can say, as he's been at it for quite some time. And when, unless you're in those positions as one of those big time reporters and insiders, you really don't understand their life becomes their job. You know, Adam Schefter said it best the other day. You really don't know what these guys go through because they spend so much time getting ready to break the biggest headlines when, especially during free agency or if there's a blockbuster trade, they constantly need to be ready on their phone. And it can take a toll on someone when you're basically choosing to live your life as your job. So good for Woj. You know, I'm happy that he's found something that he can really get passionate about because he was obviously very passionate about his job as an ESPN NBA insider, but he paid his dues. He deserves some time to really give back to something that's important to him, that being obviously the St. Bonaventure College and basketball program. And it's an exciting future for the school. And who knows, maybe we'll we'll see the St. Bonaventure Bonnies in some March Madness games coming up soon, because I'm sure having Adrian Wojnarowski as your general manager and a part of your program is for sure going to help bring in some talented recruits to Western New York. All right, when we come back, we'll go into my fantasy football matchup for the week, as I'm officially 0-2 to start the year, and I could desperately use a win this week. So I'll tell you what we need, and especially who I need to perform well if I have any chance of getting a win and hopefully not being the last person in my league to get a win this season. More of the hot seat coming up next right here on 104.5 The Team, the free 104.5 The Team app. Stay with us here. Vinny Fredericks here from the hot seat, just wanting to say thank you. Thank you for being a listener. Thank you for supporting the podcast. Or if you're listening live on 104.5 The Team every Sunday morning from 11 a.m. till 12 noon, we appreciate it very much here. And it's because of listeners like you that I continue to do this and follow my dreams. So thank you again for listening and for being a supporter of the Hot Seat and 104.5 The Team ESPN Radio. Be on the lookout for new episodes throughout the week and for the live airings every Sunday morning on 104.5 The Team. And we are back here on the hot seat with your host Vinny Fredericks on this Sunday morning on 104.5 The Team, that free 104.5 The Team app. Thanks for spending your Sunday morning with me, listening to me ramble and talk about the Yankees and the Mets, and of course NFL football is up and going, and it's hopefully a better week for me prediction wise as if you heard earlier, my predictions last week were not very good, but it's okay. It's a brand new week, brand new slate, and we'll be sure to recap next week how well I did in my predictions. As right now, we'll look at my fantasy team, as things haven't been very good for me so far. Currently 0-2 on the year. My running back situation is not good, as Derrick Henry has been somewhat disappointing for me so far. Raheem Mostert has, been on the injured reserve, and Nick Chubb is still obviously not back from his knee injury from last year. I ended up having to pick up Justice Hill and ran two Ravens running backs last week, which did not work out in my favor, as it was just a bad week scoring. This last week's matchup was over before the Monday night game, or even the Sunday night game for that matter, even started. It was over with early on. I ended up getting crushed by my opponent despite, a couple good games. I mean, CeeDee Lamb got me a good amount of points. He ended up getting me 19, but it was just a rough week, and it isn't looking any better. I need a big game from Lamar Jackson against my Dallas Cowboys, which sucks to say, but I need him and Derrick Henry to connect a few times, get a few touchdowns. I ended up having to pick up Donta Foreman, the Cleveland running back, because while Justice Hill did not get it done for me last week, Alexander Mattison sitting on my bench, I don't expect much from him this week. I did pick up Braylon Allen of the New York Jets. I'm not sure if I'm going to start him or not over Donta Foreman, because he did have a big week last week, two touchdowns, but not sure if he's going to be able to replicate that. And the Cleveland Browns obviously facing the New York Giants, who are obviously, not one of the better teams in the NFL. So if Cleveland can run up the score a little bit, maybe get Donta Foreman a couple touchdowns, that would be big for me. And then, of course, CeeDee Lamb, need a big game out of him. But right now, as I'm looking at this, he's been dealing with an ankle injury this week, so we'll see if that affects him at all. And then Jalen Waddle, not sure how he's going to do without Tua Tagovailoa throwing him the ball anymore. So it's just all across the board, it's just been rough. T. Higgins, finally, hopefully making, again, some playing time. Jake Ferguson hopefully plays this week after missing last week with a knee sprain. Browns defense should have a good week facing the New York Giants, so that's at least a positive. And Harrison Butker, my kicker, had a pretty good week last week. He's doing all right. Got 10 points last week, 9 week one. So it's pretty consistent, but it's just all in all, just not very good for me so far. I might have fumbled the bag when I was offered Jordan Mason and Isaiah Likely for T. Higgins, but I was thinking more on the fact that I need T. Higgins in my flex because I don't have that many great receivers or running backs to put in to replace him. Christian Watson netted me 0 points last week, so I've kind of given up on him for now. The bench just doesn't have anybody that really moves the needle for me. Wan'Dale Robinson was a decent pickup, I'd say. He's been getting a lot of targets, but again, this New York Giants offense hasn't really been able to score very well. And Jalen Polk of the New England Patriots got a touchdown last week, but that was really all he did. I'm more just hoping that later on in the season, when Nick Chubb and Raheem Mostert are both healthy, hopefully my team can start to put together some wins. But right now, it might be time to start looking for some trades, as if I lose this week again and start out 0-3, potentially being the last person in the league to even get a win this season, yeah, it might be time to start looking around and seeing what kind of deals I can make, because I was in the championship last year, ended up losing to my guy MJ, and I would like to have my chance for vengeance this year. So hopefully things turn around for my fantasy team, but right now, fantasy football has not been going very well for me, but we'll see. I'll update you again next week on how my team did. Maybe I'll have some good news. Maybe I'll be coming into next week's airing of the Hot Seat with an actual win in fantasy. We'll see. Thank you for tuning in. That'll put the wraps on today's broadcast of the Hot Seat. Be sure to tune in tomorrow morning. I'll be on Big Board Sports with my guy Michael Johnson Jr., MJ, from 10 until 1. Obviously, be sure to tune in to the rest of the shows throughout the week. Big Board Sports 10 to 1, The Drive 3 to 7. And we'll be right back at it next Sunday with more of the hottest takes, the hottest headlines, and the hottest topics around the world of sports. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Goodbye.